It's nice to see so many smiling faces and only a couple of sleepy ones as we gather together this morning here at Midland First United Methodist Church. For those of you who have yet to meet me or introduce yourselves to me, my name is Reverend Brian Kilpatrick, and I am the Associate Pastor of Discipleship here at Midland First. It's also going to be my first day running the service and worshiping with all of you and helping to lead that process. And of course, we have a sermon coming up later today as well. But I want to emphasize how wonderful it is that you are all here today, that we have an opportunity to engage in worship as brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we're here physically in the sanctuary or whether you're joining us on the live stream or through any of the other means by which we share our service with the world. We do have some announcements that we would like to take a moment to highlight this morning and to get things started today. I want to invite Gabrielle, our music director of music ministries, as she comes up to talk about the Next Generation Concert Series.
Good morning. It is my privilege to invite each and every one of you to our second concert of our series. It is taking place this evening at 7 o'clock in our chapel. We are going to be featuring the handbell duo Larry and Carla Sue. They are composers and performers and handbell educators from Michigan. This is a great opportunity to see some original works done by the composers, which is a pretty special thing. None of us will ever see Bach perform an organ piece, but tonight you have a chance to see a composer perform their own pieces. This is a free concert, and we have one more coming up in August. I invite you to invite your family, your friends, and that neighbor or coworker that you haven't talked with in a while. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Next, I would like to invite Jeremy to come up. He's going to talk to us about a well-being workshop that's going to be coming up and has a couple extra announcements after that.
Thank you, Pastor Brian.
You're welcome.
Indeed, if I was on a plane, I would tell you to put your seatbelts on because I have a slew of announcements to throw at you. But instead of asking you to put your tray backs up, I'm going to ask you to take your devices out, all right? So if you brought a phone with you to church, I invite you, yes, to pull it out of your pocket or pull it out of your purse because we're going to use it during these announcements. So the first announcement I have is about our Dreaming Big Well-Being series. It's a series of workshops on being well. This continues on Saturday, January 25th from 9 a.m. to noon. See how much I need well-being? All right, July 25th, 9 to noon, we're going to talk about navigating stress and struggle, self-care and compassion. Last time we met with Sarah Weisberth from the Midland Area Well-Being Coalition, she encouraged us to explore our character strengths and how they help us to thrive in life. This session will focus on practical ways to manage stress, practice self-compassion, establish healthy boundaries, and restore our energy. How many have been on a flight and they tell you to put on that mask right before attending to the children next to you? This is very much that thought. We're taking care of ourselves that we might be the church, that we might also care for others. So, okay, here's where your phone comes into play. As some of you are already doing in the pews, go ahead and point it at the screen. If you're interested in signing up, I promise you, you can take care of this by the time I'm done with announcements. So I invite you to sign up for this workshop. As a reminder, these workshops are about increasing our well-being individually and as a congregation. Many who attended the first found it to be very beneficial. Whether or not you made the first workshop, you're welcome to this one. So you can sign up by using the QR code or calling the church office. Encourage you to do that. For our next announcement, I'm going to highlight a guest preacher we'll have on July 26th. And we'll do that first with a video. Brian?
Hey, it's Rebecca Simon-Peter, and
go.
I have a question for you. What if God is still doing miracles? I mean, what if the age of miracles isn't over yet, and God invites you and I to participate in co-creating miracles with God? I don't know about you, but I think the world could definitely use some miracles right now, and probably in your personal life you may have that feeling as well. I can't wait to share with you about how a personal encounter with Jesus over 35 years ago changed everything I thought I knew about faith and religion and God and what's actually possible. Be thinking about it. What kind of miracle would you like to co-create with God? We'll talk all about it, and by the time we're done, you will know how to co-create a miracle mindset with God. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Can't wait to see you.
So Sunday, July 26th, what if God still does miracles? What does that mean in our lives? What does that mean in the church? Rebecca Simon Peter, who's an ordained elder in the Mountain Sky Conference of the United Methodist Church, will be with us for a special Sunday here at Midland First. She'll be preaching at the 10 a.m. service, and then afterwards we'll have a time with her to greet her and also to share a lunch and learn, so from 11:15 to 1:30. After you hear her sermon, I promise you are going to want to sign up for the lunch and learn. So why don't we go ahead and help our worship team, who is putting together a spectacular potato bar for those who are staying afterwards for the workshop. Let's help them out. Yep, pull your phones out again. You can point them at the screen. You see the QR code there. I promise it's a very quick sign up. If you sign up, you help us prepare for the lunch and learn. Exciting day at the church. This workshop is going to help us dream God's dreams for our lives and also for us as a church. Encourage as many of us who are interested and can make it to come and be a part of this special day, Sunday, July 26th. Final announcement that I have for you, I'm going to invite up Michelle Morgenstern, if she will, to join me up here. So for the past 14 months, a hiring committee alongside the church's leadership team, the Strategic Leadership Council, has been working to fill a full-time position on the church's staff that is focused on our children and youth. As we work together on resetting our congregation's culture for growth, filling this position has been a priority and a vital need in our church. So 8 months into our search and experiencing the difficulties that many churches are experiencing when seeking a position, a person to fill this position, to fill them effectively, 8 months into this church, into the search, the Strategic Leadership Council took the bold step this past December to enlist the help of Ministry Architects, a church staffing consultant. So what happened after that? Well, 3,700 marketing emails, posting the position in 68 places, receiving 13 resumes, and having 3 candidates progress to being interviewed. I am excited to hand things off to Michelle Morgenstern, who has served as the project leader for our search with Ministry Architects, to introduce the church's next director of family ministries. I want you to bear in mind, this isn't simply about filling a position. This is about our congregation's investment in children and in youth and in their families and equipping this generation to help us lead and be Christ Church today. So with that, I'm going to hand things off to Michelle Morgenstern.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy, for that. On behalf of the whole ad hoc hiring committee, I'm excited to share more with you about Brad Wagner, who will be our new Director of Family Ministries, Children, and Youth. Brad comes to the First United Methodist Church with 15 years of experience in children's and family ministry and a heart for this work that goes beyond even further. He got his start as a teenage volunteer in the church and then spent time in social work before turning to the ministry. An experience that still shapes how he walks alongside kids and families today. That includes a deep personal connection to foster care, which has given him a special passion for making sure every child and family feels seen and heard. Brad believes strongly in equipping and empowering volunteers, and he's looking forward to getting to know all the families in this congregation in the months ahead. Brad is relocating to Midland from southern Indiana, and he's bringing along his dog, Marcy, along for the adventure. We look forward to welcoming Brad in early August to the church.
Indeed, this is joy-filled news that we're sharing with the congregation, and I want to acknowledge the effort and commitment in this effort of our Strategic Leadership Council, those who have served on the council, who are serving presently, but also those who have been on the council in the past. Big thank you to Michelle Morgenstern, to Amy Rye Fisher, Erica Hall, Marilyn Horton, Drew Talbot, and Jan Juergens, who served on the hiring committee. Big thank you also to Melinda Samarco, who has served as our interim children's ministries coordinator. Also to our children's ministry team and our youth ministry teams who have seen us through this season in between and a season of transition. And big thank you to our families with children and youth for your patience and for believing in what God is doing here and what God is building at Midland First. It is truly amazing that during this time of transition, we have not lost a family with children and youth. And so I applaud our families today. Absolutely. And so as God continues to do God-sized dreams here, let us dream alongside God and anticipate what is to come. Amen. Amen.
And at this time, I've been told we stand to welcome one another with well wishes as we get ready for worship. And as we do that, I'd like to invite Miss Violet to come forward because she's going to be our bell ringer today. Good job, high five. And as we return to our seats this morning, I want to invite us to join our voices together for this morning's opening song, which is Praise the Source of Faith and Learning. You can find it both in The Faith We Sing, which is a supplement to our hymnals found in the pews, and the words will be up on the screen as well. You may be seated.
That would be great, Brad. Which one do you want to read? Memory verse or the Beatitude?
Beatitude.
You want to do the Beatitude? Okay. Who wants to do the memory verse? All right. Thank you, Lucas. Good volunteers this morning. All right. So when I tell you, all right. So this morning in Sunday school, we are going to be covering the Beatitude of, here, I'm sorry.
Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Good job. And what is our memory verse for today?
The Lord has told us what is good to do, what is just to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God.
Thank you. And where was that from? Micah?
Micah 6, verse 8.
Good job. Thank you guys for assisting me. I greatly appreciate that. All right.
As our children head to Sunday school, I'm going to invite up Kayla Williams, who serves as our vice chair of the Strategic Leadership Council, along with Pastor Brian, to the front as we share in our celebration of appointments. And so you might be asking, if you're not familiar with the United Methodist Church, what is the celebration of appointments? And perhaps you've grown up in the United Methodist Church and you're wondering, what is the celebration of appointments? This is a reminder to us that pastors are appointed to or assigned to a church for a year at a time. That is our rhythm as the United Methodist Church, and so we receive our appointments at a year at a time, and we celebrate the opportunity, if we're continuing in an appointment, to do ministry together, or we take this opportunity to welcome those who are new and will be coming to serve among us. This year, I want to take it as a celebration of a miracle, and I don't use that lightly. You've heard me talk about God-sized dreams, right? What are endeavors that we could not do on our own? If it were not, and we would fail at if God does not step into it. And so last October, when I was on a webinar call with Rebecca Simon Peter as part of creating a culture of renewal, a three-year program to help us, lead us as a church, to reset our church's culture for growth, Rebecca asked all the participants on the webinar to claim a miracle for their church. If you could name a miracle for your church, what would it be? And my miracle for the church, for Midland First, was that we would have a full staff come July 1. And Rebecca, having worked with me for the last year, her response was, that would be a miracle. Because she knew the work we had to do. We had 5 staff positions to fill at that point. As we made our way through the fall and into the winter, we welcome Carla. We welcome Brian on in a full-time capacity. We had one other staff filling. Somebody will have to refresh my memory. I can't name it right here in the spot. But we had, I could. We still had to fill, we had an appointment for the Associate Pastor of Discipleship that we were working on, with Associate Pastor of Member Care, and also the youth position. And so we received joyous news towards the beginning of January of Brian's appointment to join us. And then we still had 2 more remaining, the children's and youth position and the associate pastors of member care. Come late spring, we received word that very likely we will not fill the position, the appointment of associate pastor of member care. And we were advised that it would be in our best interest to restart that process as a direct hire, because it looked like we wouldn't be able to fill that appointment with an appointed clergy. And lo and behold, end of April, early May, I get a phone call from Pastors Lisa and Mike Kelly and say, we wonder if we might have a position at Midland First. We're retiring as local pastors, but we're looking for a church to serve at. And I'm like, I mean, I'm believing in miracles, but sometimes it's frightening to take that leap of hope and say, okay, God, said July 1, we have one more. I think it's June, around June time, we get word of Brad's application to Midland First. And God, what are you going to do here? Interview on Zoom, interview on site, extend the offer. What happens? July 2nd, we get a call back from Brad accepting the position. And it's like God is smiling at us and saying, you thought you had the timing. You thought, you know, how would it all work out? But I have it all. And so today's celebration of appointment, yes, is a celebration of our appointments, but really the celebration of a God-sized work in our church and all that lies ahead. So I invite you to join us in our celebration of appointments.
Friends, today we welcome Reverend Brian Kilpatrick, who has been appointed to serve as our Associate Pastor of Discipleship. Reverends Lisa and Mike Kelly, who have been appointed to serve as our Associate Pastors of Member Care, and who will begin their ministry among us on August 1st. And Reverend Jeremy Africa, who has been reappointed to serve as our lead pastor. We believe that they are well qualified and have been prayerfully appointed by our Bishop, David Barn. Reverend Africa and Reverend Kilpatrick, along with Reverends Mike and Lisa Kelly, you've been sent to live among us as a bearer of the Word of God, a minister of the sacraments, and a sustainer of the love, order, service, and discipleship of the people of God.
Today we reaffirm this commitment in the presence of this congregation.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, as people committed to participating in the ministries of the church, by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service, will you, who celebrate this new beginning, support and uphold our pastors in these ministries? We reaffirm our commitment to support them with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. Let us pray. Almighty God, strengthen and sustain us in our ministries together with pastors Jeremy, Brian, Lisa, and Mike as our pastors. Give them and us patience, courage, and wisdom so to care for one another and challenge one another, that together we may follow Jesus Christ, living together in our commitment to the cross and offering our gifts and talents in your service. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pastor Brian, being newly appointed to serve among us, along with pastors Mike and Lisa, and on their behalf, accept our church's baton and lead us in running with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
And let us all pray. Lord God, bless the ministries of your church and our chasing after a God-sized dream. We thank you for the variety of gifts you have bestowed upon us. Draw us together in one spirit, that each of us may use our differing gifts as members of one body. May your word be proclaimed with faithfulness, and may we be doers of the word and not hearers only. As we who have died and risen with Christ in baptism, gather at his table and then scatter into the world, may we be one in service to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
I invite you all to join me in extending a hand towards our pastors as we offer this last blessing. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
Drive the
Indeed, God has given us so many reasons to rejoice in God's goodness and in God's faithfulness in our lives, in the church, in our community. We take this time for the sharing of our tithes and offerings. If you're here with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to take the red friendship pads in the pews and to let us know that you are here with us. It's a wonderful way to help us to stay connected as a congregation and with you as we gather in worship. If you're attending for the first time or you're a guest this morning, we invite you to sit back and to reflect on God's goodness in your life, in your churches, in your community, as we take this time as the congregation to share our gifts and tithes with the church. At this time, with the ushers, please come forward. Indeed, O God, you invite us to approach life, even life's battles, with a joyfulness, a confidence, and even a playfulness. We ask that you bless the giving of these gifts, O Lord, that others might know of this joy and of your presence in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and also 25 through 30. Here, Jesus speaks to a crowd about John the Baptist. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by our deeds. Picking up in verse 25, at that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you join me in prayer? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight on this day, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Church, for as long as I am here, you are going to be learning a lot about me. Most of it is going to come from myself through the sermons that I share, because I take seriously the words of Paul as he shares in many of the letters that he writes, where he believes and stands firm in the fact that if someone as sinful as myself can find salvation in Christ, imagine what Christ can do for you. And so there will be times when you hear joyful stories from my life. There will be times when I preach from my failures and the lessons that I have learned over the course of my life. But all that you're going to hear about today before we dive in is some basic biographical information. Sounds like a good place to start, right? I'm fortunate in this life to have been raised by wonderful parents. My dad started off his career in the construction industry and retired as a building inspector in Bloomfield Township. My mom held a number of jobs over the years, none more important to me than the time where she stayed at home while we all grew. But I am the oldest of four kids. I am the one who is the reason many of the rules exist. And my siblings are the reason that they continue to shore those rules up as we grew up. There was rarely a peaceful moment in our house. We were extremely boisterous kids, and just as fervently as we would play together, so too would we fight together. Some of you have families like that. We get along wonderfully now. But as I was preparing to come to this place, I had been thinking about something in the back of my head, and it was this idea that came to me while I was at annual conference talking with some of my fellow clergy people, and I uttered the phrase, I'm trying to rediscover who I was when I was a kid. I'm trying to rediscover who I was when I was a kid. Before I had friends, really deep, meaningful friendships, before I let peer pressure start changing the way I viewed the world, before my time as a football player continued to shape me in high school, I want to remember who I was before all of those outside influences. And one of the ways that I have been remembering that is by thinking about some of the games that we used to play, me and my siblings, me and my friends, as we were growing up. And I want to give you all an opportunity to think about this. So I would invite you all, as you are comfortable, to close your eyes for just a moment. And I want us to close our eyes so that we can imagine the most playful moment in our childhoods. Maybe you're sitting there with your siblings. Maybe you're sitting there with your friends. I don't know the game that you're playing. Perhaps you're playing tag or Red Rover. Maybe you're playing dodgeball, cops and robbers. Maybe if you're like me, video games. But I want you to hold on to that feeling of joy as you narrow down your mind to that one moment. Because today's message is about how we play as we come alongside God to build the kingdom. Now, this parable, this story that we have before us this morning, it's an interesting story because many of the commentaries that you can read in the about the Bible will say that these two tiny lines are, in fact, a parable. It's often called the parable of children. And it's pretty simple, seemingly, and it's pretty straightforward, seemingly. Jesus says, To what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." And that's the entirety of the story. Jesus, like so many of his other stories, invites us to engage our holy imaginations, to picture that scene in our minds as we read these words, to think about times when our play was wonderful, to think about times when our play was frustrating. Because ultimately, it's a story about kids who, for one reason or another, are unwilling to play with their counterparts. We're dealing with two separate ministries as Jesus engages this story. As we heard, Jesus, if you go a little bit further back in the reading for the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus had been approached by some of John's disciples because John was getting a little hesitant, seemingly, about this ministry that Jesus had started. Let's remember that John was the one who was out in the wilderness gaining all kinds of followers and all kinds of popularity before Jesus came onto the scene. He's the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." But his approach to faith was somewhat different than Jesus. Because I've always considered John to be more of a fire and brimstone kind of preacher. You ever hear any of those fire and brimstone preachers? They're not as popular as they used to. But John was among the best of them. I'm reminded in chapter 3 of the Gospel of Matthew, where we get a snippet of John speaking to some Pharisees and some Sadducees who had come to be baptized, to die to who they were and to be born again into this life of preparation for the coming of the Messiah. And his words were not appropriate for Hallmark cards. He says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able to raise these stones up and turn them into children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." John has no time for your nonsense. He says, if you're not going to act like a child of God, then God's just going to turn these stones into children of God. That is how seriously John was taking his message of repentance. It's part of the reason I believe Jesus compares his ministry to kids playing funeral. You've all played funeral, right? No, I haven't either. I've played many games over my life. My siblings and I had a game that we think we invented ourselves, and we creatively called it sleeping bag tag. And in reality, it was just a way for us to hit our little youngest brother with a bunch of big pillows. But it was a game nevertheless. We would go down in the basement. We would shut off all the lights except for this little play school flashlight. Maybe some of you had it, had the green and red filter that you could alternate on. We would turn that on. We would throw a sleeping bag over my brother's head, and we would let him loose into our playroom. And me and my two sisters would hold these giant lounge pillows that my parents had from the 70s. And anytime he got close, we would just poof. Sometimes kids play weird games. But there are other times when I was a little older and I had started developing friends outside of my family. I had one friend, his name was Nick, and he was my best friend from like kindergarten all the way through middle school. And I was over at his house almost every other weekend, and he had the sweetest setup in his backyard I have ever seen. He's the guy who got me obsessed with Star Wars, and I still am to this day. But he had this thing out in his woods. His dad had helped him build a series of interconnected tree forts, and we would call it the Ewok Village. And we would go, it's a true story, we would go back there and we would play different Star Wars games. We would play Capture the Flag. We would do all of these wonderful things, and most of the time it was great. But as many of us remember, playing doesn't always go well. We have this story from Jesus before us today. He invites us to picture these children, the kids, on the one hand are saying, well, we played the flutes, we wanted to play wedding, we wanted to invite you into the celebration, into the dance, into the joy of Jesus Christ's ministry, but that didn't really seem to suit your style. So we decided instead we were going to play a different game that you maybe would like. We'll play funeral like John the Baptist, but you didn't want to come alongside us and mourn. So what are we to make of this story? I find one of the greatest questions we can ask when we engage in the stories from the Bible is the question, why? And I know sometimes that can be a scary question for us to engage with, especially when it comes to the Bible. But today, I want to raise the question, why do the children refuse to play? One commentary I read mentioned something about boys' games and girls' games, and those of you who were raised with a mixed group of friends of different genders might understand that a little bit. Maybe the girls come to you one day and say, we're going to play wedding, and that means all you boys are going to have to do the wedding dance that we do. And the boys go, no. But maybe the boys then come and they say, no, we're not going to play wedding, but instead what we're going to do is we're going to play funeral, and we want you guys to be the criers, so you just make a lot of noise. And the girls, no, we want to look pretty, we want to play wedding. Maybe there's a conflict going on. Maybe people are having conversations about what game to play, and in that conversation they lose sight of the fact that they have actually spent so much time arguing, they have run out of time to play. Maybe it's a question of laziness. After all, in these times, the wedding dances were led by the men. Maybe the men were like, I don't have the energy for that today. And the women were professional whalers, and maybe they didn't have the energy for that. Or maybe we take the whole story out of its allegory and we look simply at it in a plain text kind of way. And what we see is sometimes there's just no pleasing people. Sometimes no matter how badly you want to play, they're always going to say, but Jesus continues to invite us every day to come and play. Every single day, he invites us to come alongside him to be his hands and feet as we work to build this kingdom of God, as we strive to deepen our faith, as we strive to let the Spirit lead us in all that we say and all that we do on the journey that we call discipleship. Jesus is inviting each and every one of us to come and play today. And it doesn't matter if you gravitate more toward John and his fire and brimstone actions have consequences message, or you gravitate more towards Jesus' message of love and union and collaboration. The more important thing is that you start to play. And so I want to challenge us as we start to wind down our time together this morning. I want to challenge you over the course of this next week. And I hope some of you take me up on that challenge. And if you do, I'd love to hear from you in the days ahead about how this is working out for you. But if you're not already in the habit of saying prayers in the morning, I'd like to just ask you to say a simple one from now until next Sunday. When you wake up in the morning, say, here I am, Lord. I hear you calling me to come and play. And today I am going Today, I am going to participate. Today, I am going to do all that you have called me to do, and I am going to love all whom you have called me to love, and I am going to celebrate all of the goodness in the world around us as we strive to make this world a place of justice and mercy. Come, as we prepare to enter into a time of prayer, I would like to extend our sympathies and our prayers to the family and friends of Eloise Higgins, who passed away on July 2nd, 2026. In addition to the prayers that we have brought with us, let's hold her and her family in our prayers. Let us pray. God of the sun, God of the wind, God of the sky, God of beautiful days, God of summers filled with fun, God of play, we thank you for calling us to be here with you and one another, for the energy that you gave us to get up out of bed, that we might come and begin this day with a time of worship and fellowship and play. Yet we know there have been times in our lives where we have heard you calling out, inviting us to come. And in those times, we have said no. We're too busy. We have too much going on in life or at work. We just can't fit it into our schedules. And if we have ever felt that way or thought in that manner, we ask for forgiveness on this day, that you might once again call us and invite us to come and play in the marketplace of your kingdom, to dance when we play wedding in times of joy, to mourn when we play funeral in times of sadness. Lord, you know where we are and what game we are playing on this day, to each and every one of our hearts, and be with those whom we lift up before. Give you the prayers that we have brought with us for the surrounding communities and the communities in which our friends and loved ones. We give you the prayers that we have brought with us for this country and the prayers that we carry with us for our brothers and sisters in Christ and our brothers and sisters in humanity around the world. Feed them that they might come and play. Send your servants to embrace the lonely that they might join the dance. Heal the sick. Welcome the stranger. And guide us, your hands and feet, to come alongside you as we join you in those endeavors. Until that great day when your love reigns over all of the hearts of creation. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us that when we pray, we should pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing song this morning is, I heard the voice of Jesus say, the words will be up on the screen. I invite us all for the final time this morning to please stand as you're able. Before we go down to the fellowship hall after the service for a potluck reception for me and my family, my family's already down there, so feel free to run down after we're done. I just wanted to encourage you all that if you don't get a chance to talk to us today, we will be having another event in a few weeks. Keep an eye on the bulletin for that. But now let us go out into this world or down to this fellowship hall knowing that today God has invited us to come and join the game, to come and live the life of love he calls us all to live, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to eat with sinners, and in all ways to celebrate the salvation that he offers us. Go in peace. Amen.